Welcome to the ECS Equip Podcast, a weekly podcast for K-12 Christian educators and parents. Our objective is to give voice to equip our community about thinking and teaching a lot of a Christian worldview. We cover a host of issues, purpose to scratch where our parents and teachers are itching, answering some of their most pressing questions. I'm so delighted today we have a legend in the podcast studio today, Miss Carolyn Montford. Carolyn has served in various roles 38 years. Wow. That's incredible. From volunteering, from a mom to business office, admissions director, working with alumni, helping with Chicago trip, leading the clown parade. We'll talk more about that. I think you are an incredible lady with incredible substance, passion, heart for ECS. But you also have this amazing gift of encouragement. So I want to say to you, you've been a tremendous encouragement to me and my family as we've transitioned here, and to countless others. So I'm so excited to talk to you today. So welcome.
Thank you very much. The blessing is mine to have that God gave me the opportunity to serve here. So the blessing is mine and continues to be.
Well, let's start. Tell me about... I really would love to just deep dive with you really quick. Why have you invested your life into ECS? You've 38 years. You're almost four decades in. You've invested your heart and soul into this place. Why?
From my first child started in 1972, I assumed all along that my children would go to a public school. Until someone shared with me, she worked here, they shared with me about ECS. I never, ever believed, even thought for a minute, that I would ever be a part of it behind the scenes, but I was grateful just to be a mom in it. The mission statement from the time that it was prayed into existence has never changed. We are constantly, I watched ECS constantly take 1 year at a time and build stone upon stone. And I saw the dedication of the mother and fathers that truly believed this wasn't a sacrifice, but it was an investment in the future for our children. So that has never wavered with me. And over the years, it's become more intense for me to pray that God has got a hedge of fire around this school. And I am just enormously proud to say that I love it.
Well, it shows up. Your love for the school shows up in so many different ways. And the way you hug people, the way you greet people. Way you behind the scenes serve them, which often goes seen and unseen. I've seen that. So I'm just, this place is different in a good way because of you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk a little bit about Harvest Festival.
Yes.
What a glorious story that is, and it's spanned over decades, and it's kind of, just talk a little bit about the origin of that and the birth of that, and then now kind of where we're at today.
You know, the Harvest Festival was started in 1974. We moved onto the Macon Road campus, that's what it was called at the time, and in 1974, 75, which was the first graduating class and was graduating in the spring, one of the concerns of the board and the staff was that we had four lower schools at that time and then the Macon campus. So we very seldom, if ever, except maybe at graduation, ever saw each other. So that's why it was started. In 1974, but you know what? When it was first started, it was for us getting together with fellowship. But the monies that was made in the beginning of Harvest Festival went into the budget, because if you, just about everybody remembers that's been around for a while. In 1975, we had that financial crisis. So that was part of the budget, the money that was brought in. After, as the Lord grew the enrollment, then we were able to not make that part of the budget, because it was always not really knowing what line to put down as far as the money. But it started out very simple and very small, but it was done by the parents, and they would come out here to the Macon campus, and they would have people cooking outside. We didn't have all of these buildings. The only buildings we had was the White House and the middle school building, and they called it the senior high building. That was with the three places that we could set up.
Our podcast studio was housed in that current middle school building, which is the senior high building you referred to.
Right.
That's where we're recording this
and the
podcast.
We were set up outside in tents, and like I said, the first clown parade was held. We would start gathering together on the front porch of the White House, and they would walk all around through the shops, and everything would stop as they watched them walk by. As the enrollment grew, so did Harvest Festival, and it ran from 1974 until 1999. One of the biggest years. What I loved about Harvest Festival was the fact that the people that were here, we didn't have any outside vendors. The East Branch would set up in the middle school gym games for the children. In the middle school building, they had walls between that could be pushed back and made one big room. Rich Lake would be one room, North would be the other. And all the crafts that were made by the moms and dads and placed in there. Probably it wasn't like the Germantown Festival, and it was more for fellowship, but it was important that some monies were made. By that time, we had a meeting and decided that we did not, that these different groups needed the money to go back into their place of serving. But we wanted Harvest Festival and the money that was made to always have a connection with each other through Jesus, and so 10% of everything that was brought in at Harvest Festival was put into the financial aid scholarship fund, so that all of us were working really toward one purpose, is to help that and to help each branch. Probably the biggest year we ever had, I remember driving over. We would start around 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Generally, it was the night of the Saturday after homecoming. So they all came and set up on Friday night. And then we had guards walking around, because there was a lot of money invested in these shops by the parents. And so we wanted to make sure everything was safe. You know, in all the years that Harvest Festival has gone on and the Clown Parade. Let me back up. It ran from 74 until 1981. And the chairman of the Harvest Festival were different moms every year. At that time of ECS's history, probably 65% of the mothers were home mothers. And that changed over the years, but at that time it was. So everything that was made by school families. There were no outside vendors that came in. It was just us. And in 1981, I came to serve here in 1980. In 81, Mr. Bowden, who was headmaster at the time, came to me and said, I would like you to pray about being the Harvest Festival chairman, permanent Harvest Festival chairman. I absolutely was terrified of even doing that because my role had always been face painting or just serving in different arenas. But I did pray about it, and when I came back to him the next day, I told him that I would be honored to do it, but I wanted him to pray about letting me be the leader of the clown parade. And he was fine with that. So I became chairman in 1981 and was chairman for 18 years when it finally was ended. Probably one of the top years that we ever had. We grossed over $32,000. Wow. And, you know, that may not sound like a lot of money to these big places, but it was a lot of money.
Absolutely.
To ECS. And as we went into probably closer into the beginning of the 90s, more moms were going to work and mainly was to keep their children in ECS because they believed that this is where they should be, which is wonderful. But what happened was that we had less hands in making preparation for Harvest Festival. It always was in October. And like I said, always after homecoming. I can remember we had every year, and that's one of the things I love about ECS, it is never the same. The only thing that stays the same is a mission statement. But the board and the staff is constantly looking to the Lord to make it better than what it was yesterday. And we kind of did that same thing in Harvest Festival. We tried to add things, and there was one year that we rented a stagecoach, a little stagecoach, pulled by two mules, and they would go around the Circle Drive, and he came 2 years in a row. One year we had a greasy pig, and you had to go in and catch that little sucker if you could. That only lasted 1 year because the Petra people came and said we were not, shouldn't be giving the pig a hard way to go. And so that was the last year we did the pig. One of the funny stories is 1 year, the Outdoors Club, I was in admissions then, and the Outdoors Club came to me because they couldn't find a sponsor. So it's always go to Ms. Bonford because she will volunteer for everything. And so they asked me if I would be their sponsor, and I said, as long as I don't have to go anywhere with you. But they decided to run a zip line from the top of the middle school building down to, we didn't have Eagle Hall. And there was a pond at right outside of where Eagle Hall is, between the chapel and the cafeteria. There was a septic pond there because we were not on city sewage at the time. And they ran that ziplock line from the top of the middle school building down to, you landed on the other side of that pond. And I remember when they got it set up, they said, Miss Bonford, would you like to be the first one to do it? And I went, no, but thank you for asking. And they said, oh, it'll hold up to 250 pounds. And I went, thank you for giving me that, no. But the business manager about had the big one because of the insurance stuff. There was a time that when ECS was this small area in Cordova where we were annexed into the city. And the police department came out that day and also the mayor of Memphis and spent the day with us. We had a helicopter fly over the football field and hover while a man plummet down with a rope and landed very close to the ground. So it was. We had motorcycle rides in the back. You never, ever experienced just good old clean fun like it was at the Harvest Festival. The seniors would set up right outside this middle school door and sell scones. Every group had something going on. So it wasn't just a few people. It was a day for everybody. And when it was all over, at the end of the day, the junior class would come in and help us clean up, and they would get paid for that. As the years roll by, let me tell you about the clown parade. We continued to have it every year. It was tradition, and never, ever did it rain on it except once. Later, we marched anyway. But I remember coming in one morning at around 6 o'clock in the morning on that day, and it was pouring down rain. And I ran into, there was a guard that had been out on the campus that night, and he saw me that morning, and I said, "Good morning, how are you?" And he goes, "Sure enough, it's coming down fast, isn't it?" And I went, "Well, God is settling the dust." And he goes, "What does that mean?" And I said, "That 11:15 is going to stop for the clown parade." And he goes, "How do you know that?" And I went, "Because it's never rained on us." And sure enough, at 11:20, it stopped, and we gathered in front of the chapel, which we had by then, and marched all around. And then as soon as we finished that walk, we always had led by the band and the honor guard. And but as soon as we finished that walk, the skies opened up and rain started pouring, which drove everybody back inside to shop. But God has been so faithful to these children, and because this is a big deal here. I guess it was about 5 years ago that I walked with a child who was wearing the same clown outfit that his mother had worn when she walked with me. So, you know, it was next generation. As we got into the 90s and more people were working, the crowds weren't as strong. And Becky Taylor was helping with the, they called it the Making Mothers at the time, and she was chairman of that. And she's just came to me and said, "Carolyn, you know, it's getting harder and harder to get people because so many people were working." So we met with Mr. Miller, and they reluctantly decided to not have it in 1999. And it absolutely broke my heart. But, you know, you never say the same in God's service. But the most wonderful thing out of that is my biggest concern was a kindergarten parade. So we never missed a year, but we just did it in a different way. We marched onto the field at homecoming the night before. It was probably 2 years after Mr. Miller was here that so many of the mothers and the families were just so disappointed we didn't have it, because it was the greatest thing of bringing so many people together. And even while we explained to them why we had to stop it, they missed it terribly. And if you ask any alumni from the 80s, what was it, one of their favorite things, it would be Harvest Festival. So when Rex came, we decided that and prayed that we needed to do, because the parents wanted it so badly, we needed to do something. So we started Fall Fest. We did it on a Friday night and before the homecoming game. And we didn't have shops, but we had all kinds of food stands and stuff going on, dunking tanks and things like that. And the people came. It wasn't the way the old Harvest Festival was, but it was a good way of getting people out here. And to this day, I mean, we will have homecoming on the 29th, which is a Friday, and they will be setting up food stations, and they will be feeding folks in front of the chapel, and we will have games for the children, and the clown parade will go on. This will be my 37th year to lead that, and that has probably been one of the greatest honors that I've ever had.
Well, I love watching it, and it was special for me to watch my little, youngest participate last year. And she was, I guess, my first or second year here, she was a clown in training.
Mm-hmm.
But last year, she was an official clown, so that was special for me to get to watch that processional. Tell me about some of your favorite memories of how God just showed up in big ways at ECS.
You know, what I have loved about being a part of this ministry was he gave us small nuggets, a goal, constantly. When you really thought that you didn't know what or how we were going to do such and such, all of a sudden, just like the rain. Now, nobody could have parted the clouds. And you could literally feel like that you could look up and see his hand there. I believe that God is in every decision that is made here. The very fact that even from the beginning of 1965 until now, ECS does not settle for anyone or anything unless it's the very best. So, because we have a board that seeks God's face, and which is what we teach the children to do as young as your little one. I was around during that financial crisis, and I remember the meeting was in the Old Central Church, which is now Kirby Woods. The very fact that most of us were just barely able to pay the tuition, I remember sitting there and thinking, we do not know what God will do until we ask him. And so, you know, $800,000 was raised, and we had a class of 1976 that graduated the next year. I had a child going into kindergarten and one going into second when all of this went down. We have a God that is has so much power, and he never tires of us coming to him. And to me, that's a great comfort.
Yeah. You know, I think that's an incredible story. And one of the big pieces of ECS is the word community. I want to tell you a story that happened yesterday. So we're in the year 2017. I'm at a middle school cross country meet. I have two kids, a boy and a girl, running middle school cross country. And the meet was over, and I look up, and I went over and stood by Sam Kelly, and I said, "Hey, I want you to look at something." I said, "Everybody's gone but us." And there were literally like 80 to 100 people out there, families, some of the high school cross country runners were out there, but they were just hanging out, just
it's
being.
Right, family.
Just being. Mm-hmm. But it was a great picture of the community of ECS. And that was just a small little portion. It was just our little middle school cross country community. But all the other teams left, they'd taken their tents. Literally, I could have counted on my two hands how many people were left except for us. And I literally look up and just saw a sea of ECS people just hanging out and being together. Talking.
Right.
And it was like they lost track of time. And talk a little bit about community, because I think that's, you know, that financial crisis you just mentioned is important. Community is important. But then, and I think it's built on something, which is the word strive. There's always been a striving. And one of the things I did when I was onboarding here is I called certain people to find out about the history of ECS, because as a leader, you can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And you were one of the people I called. And so there were several things mentioned. One was the financial crisis. One was the life and death of Steve Collins, which has made a significant impact on ECS. And then this third one I don't know another way to capture it in a word other than striving. Like, there's been a community of people striving for excellence, and it's centered around the Lord. But they're just doing life together, raising their kids together and trying to do it in community. So talk a little bit about that and what you've noticed about that over the years.
You know, I was when I was asked by Dr. Peterson to do this, I went back to the first yearbook, which was 71-72, and because I wanted to see the progression of ECS in pictures, one of the things that I am so blessed that I was not here at the very beginning, because my first child started in 72, but especially on this campus, and there were so many pictures in that yearbook of them spreading out that bubble that turned out to be the gym, and there were all kinds of students and fathers that encircled that piece of rubber. We couldn't afford to pay anyone to do it, so we did it, or they did it. And that's, you know, this place was built to the glory of the Lord, but it was built block on block by fathers and mothers. It didn't make any difference what zip code you lived in, your financial ability. When we came here, we were one. And I think that has been the most blessing that I've ever had, was watching God take a community of believers, because we require, you know, one of the parents to be a Christian, build this place, not in one day, but and starting, especially in the Macon campus in 1971. When I was in admissions, I remember giving tours and to people from other schools, and we would walk around, and they would just be in awe of what this place looked like. And I said, I want you to understand that we are blessed to have what we have, but it was done through the faith and the passion of the people carrying it on their shoulders and doing it. But the bottom line is that we could meet in a tent and the mission of ECS would go on. So as much as you want it to look nice and everything, I wanted them to know that what goes on in the classroom does not have anything to do with the walls that are around them. And when we were at that luncheon, men's luncheon yesterday. There were fathers of alumni that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. Because once you come here, you are, I mean, they always say, once an eagle, always an eagle. Well, once you have this a mission and serve in that mission, it is always there. And the people may graduate and go away, but they never leave what they learned when they were here. Yeah. So,
well, that's one reason we have a 94% re-enrollment rate, which is incredible. Yeah. I mean, that's that way outperforms our peer schools everywhere.
Exactly. So, exactly.
I really appreciate you coming on. You are such a dear person to me personally, but also to our entire community, and you have this unique combination of sweetness and spunkiness that I just, it's captivating. So we love you, and KOKO, keep on keeping on. Sailor Dura Gloria.